Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Glad you're here today, 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Big show for you today as we're still talking about a lot about the Charlie Kirk ceremony yesterday when the president gave, obviously, the Presidential Medal of Freedom, awarded it to his wife, Erica, awarding it to Charlie through his wife, Erica, obviously posthumously. So that's a big deal. And some action at the Supreme Court today over congressional redistricting, with a liberal justice, Justice Sonia Sotomayor, actually arguing, you'll have to hear this for yourself. I mean, some of these arguments by some of the lefty judges, like Ketanji Brown Jackson, were just nuts, basically saying that black people are like disabled people. Yeah, no, that was really something that happened before the high court today. So I'll get into all that with you as well. And I didn't want to hear any singing. I didn't want to hear singing, but we do have singing for you today. I'm not happy about it, but, you know, we go where the news is. And so when something as absurd happens, like Bette Midler singing to Stephen Colbert, we're going to bring it to you because it's just that incredibly outrageous that happened and just that exhausting in every single way. But first, as we get the show kicked off for you today, I was thinking about, and this is the big story of the hour brought to you by Dr. Mike Venaria, Venaria Dental. Go see him today for your perfect smile. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VenariaDental.com. Two locations to serve you in Cinnaminton and Woodbury. Make sure you make Dr. Mike your go-to guy for your smile because you deserve a beautiful smile. And there's simply no one better out there to give it to you than Dr. Mike Venaria. The question, I think, on everybody's minds right now is still the economy and whether or not the Fed is going to cut interest rates again. Obviously, the Fed chair was in Philadelphia yesterday, and he was speaking about this, and he's concerned that we're deporting too many people, and too many illegal immigrants are being deported, and so that's why he may not be able to cut rates at least as much as people want. I think he's going to cut them by probably another 25 basis points, but I think people were hoping for a 50% or 50 basis point cut. But he's kind of blaming that, which is bizarre. But we'll talk to Dr. E.J. Antoni on that a little bit later. Zora Mamdani is actually on Fox News today talking with Martha McCallum. I don't exactly know what the purpose of that is, other than to say that I guess Mamdani feels pretty good about his chances winning because he's going on Fox News. Yeah, I guess he feels like he might as well start to cut into enemy territory at this point. Hopefully Martha McCallum will ask him something that will backfire on him, and maybe it'll lead to the end of that guy's race, because I do think he's going to be terrible for New York City. I really do. And as much as I think he'll be great for the Republican Party going forward, as I think the Republican Party will benefit from having a socialist kook like this in New York City, the damage that it will do to the city itself, I think, is going to be just incalculable. I really do. I think it's just going to be bad. He's reckless, and he is so, I mean, the whole defund the police thing, but it's bigger than that with him. At one point, for Christopher Columbus, he went after Columbus, too. No surprise there. Lefty, progressive, kook mayor. And he also has been talking extensively now about releasing people from jail. Now, I'm all for releasing people from jail if they deserve it and they've earned it. They've done their time, or their crime was something that maybe they should not have been locked up for in the first place. The problem is, though, Mandami pretty much believes that's everybody who's ever been locked up. And New York City is facing a moment, as the United States is right now, where you've got crime in a lot of places, particularly around illegal gang. I mean, all gangs are illegal for the most part, except for like the Girl Scouts, but illegal gangs, drugs, human trafficking, and of course, people coming across the border. The fight that you're going to see as the resistance to Donald Trump heats up, the fight you're going to see is actually around Democrats who are going to be standing more and more with illegal immigrants who are criminals, because they it's the only way to placate their base. I mean, their base at this point is all in on this idea that these people are victims of society and that they're being deported would be an absolute disgrace. So you look at people like Zora Mamdani, you look at other people like this, and you turn around and you go, well, wait a second. Are they going to take the side of the illegal immigrant? Yeah, they are. They are, because that's where the Democrat Party is right now, which means you have to judge every single Democrat on that point. You can't act like they're this small group of people within a party. These are not some people that, you know, you're having a block party and some people show up across the street. You didn't really want them to come, and now you feel awkward. You don't know what to do with them. They brought, you know, like a pot roast, something that nobody really wanted for a block party. And you just kind of wait it out because you want to be a nice neighbor. When you've got crazy people in the Democrat Party base like this, you got to judge the whole party based on it. I'm sorry. And that includes Mikey Sherrill, the Democrat candidate for governor of New Jersey, who has said she backs Zoran Mamdani. Now, she's also saying it's New York and not New Jersey, and she's focused on New Jersey. That's a tell when they do that. That means that they're afraid to denounce them because they don't want to lose any of the kooks in their base coming out to vote for them. They know it's bad with people with brains. So people with brains know that standing with a guy like that is bad news for everybody. But at the same time, they're worried about the kooks in their party, so they don't want to upset them. So they turn around and they go, well, this is not my race. I mean, I'm running for governor of New Jersey, not New York City. All right, well, denounce the guy then. Say that he's bad for your state. He's bad for your party. He's bad for America. But they won't do that. And it's the same exact problem Kamala Harris had in the general election when she refused to denounce a lot of the people in the Democrat Party that are the problems. And when you don't do that, that sends a clear message to the American people. And the message that sends is, these are going to be my people. I'm standing with them. This is the Democrat Party. And I think it backfires in a big way. And I don't know if there's a way to calculate that in terms of a general election in the state of New Jersey. I just know that from people I talk to, they're very worried that if this guy Mamdani becomes mayor of New York City, he'll steamroll right over a person like Mikey Sherrill if she's governor. Steamroll right over him. Now, the polls look like he's going to win. No-cost child care and fare-free buses and stabilized rent. And he doesn't want billionaires. And, of course, he wants to raise taxes on everybody. And it's going to be an exodus. But from the perspective of New Jersey, you have a commuter tax. When you drive into New York City, as a lot of people do, you get hit with that commuter tax. Is Mikey Sherrill really going to take Zora Mamdani on about that? No, of course not. She can't. This is the crux of the problem with the Democrats. Look at John Fetterman. John Fetterman comes out and says positive things about Israel. He commends the president on getting the hostages released. What happens? The Democrat base goes crazy, and they talk about primarying John Fetterman. John Fetterman is going to get a primary. The only question is, how serious and significant is it going to be for John Fetterman, and can he survive it? Will he even bother running again? Will he even bother running? Because even though he votes like a Democrat, it's not enough. You can't just vote like one. You have to now embrace all the crazy ideas that they have, or else you get a primary. Why are we talking today, as a matter of fact, about air traffic controllers not getting paid? So they already have one of the most high-stress jobs in the world. You're an air traffic controller dealing with outdated systems that are so antiquated, it's like you're playing Pong. I mean, literally, you look at those screens the air traffic controllers use, and it is like you're playing the game of Pong, the classic 1979 video game, maybe even earlier than 79. So they're already dealing with one of the most high-stress jobs in the world. Now they're not getting paid. Today's payday, and they're not getting paid. Now, the Democrats are still going with the shutdown. Why? Why? Why are they still going? Because the base demands it. The base says you have to be the resistance to Trump. You have to be. We don't want you compromising with the guy. We don't want you working with the guy, period. That's why there's a government shutdown. There's no other reason for it. We're talking about 75 days till they have to redo all this again. They could easily reopen the government now and then spend the next 75 days fighting and then go through this whole process again. They could, but they're not going to, because the base is demanding that they be the resistance. They stand up to Trump on all costs. So today you've got these air traffic controllers dealing with one of the most stressful jobs, not getting paid. And so the president says, I'm going to pay the military. I'm going to find funds from the Department of War, and we're going to make sure the military gets paid. Okay, that's great. That's great. That's fantastic. That's what should happen. And what happens? The Democrats freak out and go, you can't do that. You can't pay the military. Only Congress is allowed to make payments. You can't do that. Now, he's using it for money that's already been appropriated to the Department of War. He's not printing money. He's not turning on the money print press over at the Philadelphia Mint, but it doesn't matter. They don't like the fact that he's doing that, so they're against it. But if you ask the average person, again, with a brain, they're going to say, we should pay the military. They're still working. Their jobs are not, I mean, these are pretty consequential jobs. These are pretty important jobs here. You can't turn around and say these are non-essential. So yeah, the military should get paid. Democrats don't want to do that. Democrats don't want to do that because it gives Trump a win, and they want to be the resistance. So to placate what I would think is a very small but vocal minority of lunatics in their party, they'll bet the whole political ranch on this. What does that mean then when somebody like a Mikey Sherrill gets elected, when a Zoran Mamdani gets elected and starts calling her out if she's not liberal enough, if she's not progressive enough, if she's not kooky enough? This is the problem right now. Even if somebody says they're going to be a mainstream centrist Democrat, and Mikey Sherrill is certainly not saying that, but even if people say that, they can't be, because other people within their party will turn around and will come after them for that. They'll come after him for it. And they will turn around and they will say, you are not being helpful. Now, Hakeem Jeffries is the great example of this. He's leading the shutdown along with Chuck Schumer. He is absolutely in no way, shape, or form wanting to see this government reopen. In no way does he care about the air traffic controllers or anybody else not getting a paycheck today. What they care about is being the resistance to Donald Trump. That is entirely what the Democrat Party is based on, being the resistance to Donald Trump. Let's begin there, shall we, with cut number 19, Hakeem Jeffries, the House Minority Leader, screaming at a press conference on Capitol Hill. They have no interest in seeing the government reopen, no interest in working with the president on this, and no interest in giving him a win. It's just purely about being the resistance to everything he does. That is today's Democrat Party. So every Democrat at every level now has to be judged against that. Because how can you possibly speak up against that unless you're John Fetterman? In which case then, well, you're going to get a primary challenge. The mere fact that John Fetterman says the government should be open, and the mere fact that he votes to open the government, means, guess what? You're getting a primary challenge. Not you may be doing what's in the best interest of your state, maybe doing what's in the best interest of your country. No. You're crossing us. You're not being a good member of the resistance. So for that, you're getting a primary challenge. Here's Hakeem Jeffries, Cut 19.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you to my Democratic colleagues for your presence, for your unity, for your strength, and for your leadership. I'm deeply appreciative
unity.
That we've been
Hear
joined
that?
Today by three extraordinary, hardworking American taxpayers, Heather, Jackie, and Jonna, whose lives are being upended by the government shutdown and the Republican healthcare crisis. And they are here to tell their stories. Donald Trump and Republicans
now.
In Congress have shut down the government.
How?
15 days ago.
How?
And they haven't done a damn thing since to try and reopen it.
You won't let
House
them.
Democrats are here. Yes. Reporting for duty. We are ready, we are willing, and we are able to negotiate a bipartisan spending agreement that actually meets the needs of the American people.
Now, let's stop it right there for a second. This bipartisan spending agreement, that what we're talking about is reopening the government with the exact same spending levels as before. So this is all theater. This is all show. There's nothing sincere about what Hakeem Jeffries is saying. There's nothing real about this. It's not as if the Republicans are saying, oh, no, we're only going to reopen the government if we cut $1 billion. Hell, I would love it if they tried to cut $1 billion. They're not. I'd love it if they tried to cut $1 million. They're not. They're not trying to cut anything. They're just trying to reopen the government at the exact same spending levels as before and then deal with this down the road, which bothers me, but it shouldn't bother the Democrats because they have all the spending that they had before. So this is pure theater coming from them, but it's theater around being the resistance to Donald Trump. And it doesn't matter if it goes on for 15 days or it goes on for 30 days or 40. It doesn't matter. I don't know how this ends, because the minute that it ends, they've given in to Trump. And they can't. You can't do that in this Democrat Party today when you've got to be nothing other than blocking at all times, blocking him and stopping him at every turn, because he's a monster. He's Hitler. He's the Antichrist. He's whatever you want to call it. So you could bring up taxpayers. Those three taxpayers are probably obviously Democrats, and they're going to turn around and they're going to say, well, yeah, we want the government reopened. OK, so reopen the government. So Democrats are the ones keeping it closed. That doesn't matter. Keep going.
The government and decisively address the Republican health care crisis.
Yeah. What health care crisis? Yeah, it's very enthusiastic. Very enthusiastic crowd right there. Very enthusiastic. What is the Republican health care crisis exactly, other than they want to give health care to illegal immigrants and all these benefits to people who are illegal? And what's the crisis? The crisis is if they give in to Trump, then they're not being good members of the resistance. And as a consequence of that, people like the Air Traffic Controllers Association and the president, Nick Daniels, says controllers are worried right now. So you're already dealing with one of the most high stress jobs in the world. Being an air traffic controller in the United States of America, dealing with technology that is 30 or 40 or maybe even 50 years outdated at this point. And now you got to worry, I'm not getting a paycheck today. So a lot of these people probably live paycheck to paycheck. That's a scary thing if you live paycheck to paycheck. And even if you think, okay, I might get back pay. When the government reopens, I may get all this money back. Okay, that's fine if you got savings. Fine if you can go get a payday loan. But if you can't, what do? You stress and you worry, as you're already dealing with a high stress job that makes you worry all the time about planes crashing into each other. We've already had some near misses, as you know. So you're already dealing with one of the most high stressful jobs ever. Cut 20.
I mean, air traffic controllers are on that edge, and that's why working with Administrator Bedford, working with Secretary Duffy to figure out ways to compensate these air traffic controllers for what they're dealing with on a daily basis and bringing new ones in is going out and now saying, do that, work 6 days a week. They don't work just five. They work 6 days a week. They usually work 60 hours in that week, only 4 days off in a month. And yes, the main conversation they're having today in the control room is, how do I defer my mortgage? Or how do I? What are you going to work for? Are you going to work for Uber? Are you going to work for DoorDash? Are you going to go do waiters' jobs? How are you going to earn money during this time the government shut down? And that's not what we need our nation's air traffic controllers focused on. And that's the risk we're talking about.
Of course you don't need that. I don't want that. I mean, if I'm flying on an airplane anytime soon, I'm nervous that these guys are already distracted as it is and stressed as it is. And now they're going to be, what, looking for Uber jobs? Looking to figure out how they can drive for DoorDash? Figuring out as they're dealing with how they can delay their mortgage payment? And I get it. I mean, there are banks. You go online to your bank, it may say, are you impacted by the government shutdown? Click here. Okay, that may buy you some time in some cases, but not in a lot of other areas. You know, if you've got to pay... Certain things have to get paid, and you don't have the money for it. That's very stressful. But Democrats don't care because they want to just be the resistance. Now, if Mikey Sherrill gets elected governor of New Jersey, I can tell you that what she's going to do, she's going to look to run for president and to run for president as a Democrat today. It's not about reaching across the aisle and trying to be some sort of bipartisan person. Remember years ago when they had no labels and it was purple and that was all the rage? And they had the Problem Solvers Caucus, and we're going to reach across the aisle, and we're going to try to work with these people. Those people are dinosaurs. They are endangered species in their own party. And there are some of them, a handful, but they're not the ones with the microphones right now, and they're certainly not the decision makers. The decision makers at the top, the Hakeem Jeffries, the Chuck Schumers, well, they're worried about the Mandamis, the AOCs, and everybody else. So again, if Mikey Sherrill becomes governor... And she wants to run for president, and of course she's going to, because why not? You'd be a woman governor of New Jersey. You instantly, it's a pathway to the White House. All these other people who get in there, they want to run for president someday. So who are you going to try to impress? You're going to try to impress the people that are looking for bipartisanship, knowing that that is a death knell for you as you run for president. You go to South Carolina, you go to New Hampshire, you go to Iowa. Or are you going to try to placate the kooks in your party who are the resistance? You know exactly what she's going to do. You know exactly what she's going to do. She's going to be more concerned about making sure Jasmine Crockett is happy than she is about making sure that Josh Gottheimer is happy. He's a Democrat in North Jersey who is considered to be one of those people who is the rare bipartisan Democrat that is still around right now. Do you think Mikey Sherrill is going to be looking to go across the river to the other side and work with John Fetterman on how they can convince their fellow Democrats to work with the president on anything? No, because she can't run for president. She can't win a primary in South Carolina. That's trouble for her in Iowa. It's trouble for her in New Hampshire. So she's going to work with the other crazy people in the party and not anyone who looks like they want to try to reach across the aisle and make something happen here. This is the state of the Democrat Party. This is why Mandami's election in New York is so dangerous. Yes, I mean, selfishly, looking at it from the perspective of a Republican, I think it'll be great because it's going to drive more and more people away from the Democrat Party. But they don't care at this point. When you have a party that is absolutely about your base, and your base is a fringe group, but they are loud, and they vote in primaries, and your party is catering to them, it doesn't matter if you try to be a problem solver. It doesn't matter if you try to be a consensus builder. You'll face a primary. John Fetterman may get a lot of accolades from Republicans and even some voters out there who consider themselves to be moderates or middle of the road, but he's going to face a primary challenge because he dared to say, I will compromise with these people. I want to work with these people. I want to give the president credit on things. This is a bad place to be right now in American politics, and I'm sorry, but it is one political party that, again, one political party with their over-the-top rhetoric comparing Trump to Hitler, and one political party right now that is holding the government hostage. No, I'm fine. You know, you want to keep the government shut down, and you want to make actual cuts, and you want to cut money, and you want to do this, but don't be fooled into thinking these Democrats are doing this because they're some sort of fiscal conservatives, or they've had this awakening now where they've decided to see the light and realize government's too big, and we have too many people working here, and we got to do something about it. Don't fall for that for a second, please, because I promise you that is a gigantic lie. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Big show for you today. The mail-in ballots in New Jersey, how are Republicans doing, and the rate of return compared to Democrats. And what does that story tell when you compare it to the last governor's race in New Jersey of 2021? Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. 1. It's $15 a month. 2. Seriously, it's $15 a month. 3. No big contracts. 4. I use it. 5. My mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
And a judge has just blocked the Trump administration from laying anybody off. So that just happened. That just happened a few moments ago. U.S. District Court judge in San Francisco, a Clinton appointee, blocked Trump from firing workers by granting a temporary restraining order requested by labor unions. So that just came out a few moments ago as we get started here on this portion of the show. We are awaiting the president and FBI Director Kash Patel to speak. I don't know exactly what they're going to speak about. I don't know. But nevertheless, there's a lot going on. So I imagine that it'll be something related to maybe Epstein. I don't get your hopes up. Probably not. But we'll see what it is. In the meantime, I will still remain optimistic that we'll eventually at some point get some answers on Jeffrey Epstein. Maybe that bores you. I don't know. For me, it's just one of those things where I would just, you know, I personally would like to know more about that. I feel like it's just not one of those things we're ever going to find out about. Over at the Supreme Court, they had a hearing today, a part of the question on congressional districts. And as this is happening right now, this redistricting, and you have districts in this country that are purposely designed because they're trying to be more racially minded. And you would argue, if you, again, had a brain, that that's discrimination, that if you start putting people into districts because of the color of their skin, that that is discrimination. Now, if you are, say, Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson, for example, she actually declares that we need to draw congressional districts based on race. So based on race, We have to. Well, this is what we should be doing right now, looking at the map and figuring out how we can draw districts based on race. And actually even suggesting that maybe black people are disabled. Huh? Yeah, I know. I had to look twice at that one, too, myself. I mean, disabled. What? But nevertheless, here is Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson. This is from the cross exam today. They don't have equal access to the voting system. They're disabled. Cut number three.
I'm thinking of it, of the fact that remedial action, absent discriminatory intent, is really not a new idea in the civil rights laws. And my kind of paradigmatic example of this is something like the ADA. Congress passed the Americans with Disabilities Act against the backdrop of a world that was generally not accessible to people with disabilities. And so it was discriminatory in effect because these folks were not able to access these buildings. And it didn't matter whether the person who built the building or the person who owned the building intended for them to be exclusionary. That's irrelevant. Congress said the facilities have to be made equally open to people with disabilities if readily possible. I guess I don't understand why that's not what's happening here. The idea in Section 2 is that we are responding to current day manifestations of past and present decisions that disadvantage minorities and make it so that they don't have equal access to the voting system. Right? They're disabled. In fact, we use the word disable in Milligan. We say that's a way in which you see that these processes are not equally open.
So black people need to have special districts drawn to them because they're like disabled people. Yeah, just drink on that for a second. They're like disabled people. So it's kind of like having, I guess, parking at the mall. You have to be disabled parking. It's called handicap parking in the day, but now we don't do that anymore. Kind of like that. Man, I think that is just about one of the most racist things I've ever heard in my life. But now I'm not surprised. Ketanji Brown Jackson is not exactly the most intelligent justice. But you know who is? Justice Clarence Thomas, who was actually confirmed to the Supreme Court today in 1991. So happy anniversary to him. Thank God he's there. And this is him dismantling that argument about why we need discrimination in congressional districts to help black people who are disabled. And by the way, Zoran Mandami apologizing for his past statements towards the NYPD. Does anyone actually believe that this guy's sincere about that? Or is he just saying what he thinks he needs to say to get elected? Do you really think that if he becomes mayor of New York City, he's going to be pro-cop, he's going to be friendly to the NYPD, he's going to in any way, shape, or form be the kind of mayor that the cops can work with, or the cops will feel like this guy has their back? Or you think Mamdani is saying these things now to Martha McCallum on Fox News because he thinks he has to say these things? Like, oh, he's not so bad. I mean, sure, in the past he said defund the police, but now he takes it all back. He's walking it back. Doesn't mean it anymore. Really? So he talked about the police. He had to defund the police for queer justice. And he equated the NYPD with the Gestapo. The Gestapo. He also said that shutting down Rikers Island and freeing people, that's liberation. We got to close our prisons. Said all these things in the past. But now he's running for mayor. Now he doesn't mean those things anymore. I guess the only question I have for you is, do you believe him? We'll come back to that. Justice Clarence Thomas dismantling the liberal argument about discrimination. Cut number one.
What role did Robinson play in the development of SB 8?
Justice Thomas, Robinson is the only reason SB 8 exists. We fought tooth and nail in the Robinson litigation itself in telling the courts that we did not think the Constitution permitted us to draw a second majority black district. As you know, under protest, we drew SB 8 because the threat was that the federal courts were going to do it if we didn't. And that's, I mean, I think that's the best way to conceive of why SB 8 exists. We would never pass SB 8 in the first instance without Robinson, Justice Thomas.
Well, What were the findings in Robinson?
The finding by the Middle District in Robinson was that the plaintiffs in this case were likely to show a violation of Section 2, and the likely violation, and I'm using very broad terminology because I do not know what the underlying violation is. I can't articulate that for you, Justice Thomas, because I don't think anybody can. But I think the finding in the district court's mind in that case was that the likelihood of a Section 2 violation meant that a majority black district was required, a second one. And I think like that was the bottom line, and when our legislature saw that, we understood the marching order, and that's why you see SBA as it exists today.
Just briefly, what were the findings that led to that conclusion?
Well, Your Honor, running through the preconditions and the totality of the circumstances, I mean, I think the totality of the circumstances did most of the work for the Middle District in Robinson. Senate Factor 1, the official history of past discrimination. Justice Thomas, we can never outrun the bad era of poll taxes, of grandfather clauses, of literacy tests. I think we're always going to lose across the board on that kind of analysis. And that's what the Middle District in Robinson focused on, is how bad was Louisiana in the 1930s, 40s, 50s, 60s. And, you know, add all that together, and at the end you have a vote dilution finding that I don't think is clearly articulable in the way that SFFA requires a finding of discrimination to be specified.
Now, you notice how far back we're going here to justify in the year 2025 racial gerrymandering? We're going back to the 1950s. Might as well go back to the 1850s. It's 2025. That's where we are right now. And it gets worse, though, in the context of what the liberal justices believe is they're pushing for this. Remember, this is under the guise of making sure that we've got black Americans who are able to vote for who they want. We have to specially racially engineer these districts, which has happened to become very big Democrat districts as well. You know what we're going to do? We'll take a quick break. The president and the FBI director are speaking from the Oval Office. I do want to hear what they have to say. So we'll take a very quick break. We'll come right back. Don't go away.
The rich.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it.
Are you playing me off?
That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the only show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Okay, so the president and the FBI director speaking right now, which of course is why we play YMCA whenever the president speaks. So let's jump over to the White House as they talk about what the priority of the FBI will be. And let's hope we get something on Jeffrey Epstein.
You see outside how that's come out. It's been great. We make a lot of improvements to the White House, and we're doing that. One of the things you should be looking at is the Palm Court, because that's been totally redone. So we like to preserve and make better the White House. And that's really what's happened. And we're getting tremendous reviews, and we appreciate it. But we're here for a different reason. It's called Operation Summer Heat, which is an appropriate term in light of what we're doing. And early yesterday morning, I returned from the Middle East, where we celebrated a historic agreement to end years of suffering and conflict. Amazing. Every country came together. I mean, even the enemies came out and totally endorsed it. Everybody, I've never seen anything like it. Nobody's seen anything like it. And just as we are forging peace and stability abroad, we're also restoring peace and safety and stability at home. And you see that in Washington, D.C., maybe better than any place, because we got there and within 12 days it was very good. And within 30 days, it's been as safe as any city in the country. It's been great. Took out 1,700 people, got them out. These are career criminals in many cases, and people that shouldn't have been allowed in by the Biden administration. Historically, the summer months have been a time when violent crime soar, as you know, but not under President Trump. Today, we're announcing the results of a sweeping law enforcement effort known as Operation Summer Heat. We were in many cities that people didn't know about. We kept it a little quiet, and it had a big impact, and you'll hear that in a second. But over the past few months, FBI offices in all 50 states made crushing violent crime a top enforcement priority. And that's what they did, rounding up and arresting thousands of the most violent and dangerous criminals. And these are among the most dangerous and violent people in the world. They were allowed in many cases, not in all cases, but in many cases, they were allowed in by a very foolish, actually stupid, open border policy. Just anybody could have come in. They emptied out their jails, their prisons, their mental institutions. They emptied them into our country. And the people behind me have done an incredible job, because if we didn't have that administration, it would have been so much easier. They allowed millions of people in this country that shouldn't have been allowed, including over 11,000 murderers, half of whom murdered more than one person. And many of them are gone now, or they're put in prison, because we don't want to have them come back. So we literally put them in our prison, which we don't want to do. But we bring them back to their countries. Working with state and local partners, the FBI arrested over 8,000 violent criminals during the course of this period in major cities like in New Orleans, Nashville. We saw a 250% increase in arrests. We got and we really went after the bad ones. These include 725 individuals wanted for violent crimes against children and murderers. These arrests are in addition to the work of our historic federal task forces that make D.C. safe. Task force has been unbelievable. I mean, the job they've done, it's incredible. And it's been so nice, because so many people, they're going out to dinner and they're having dinners. They didn't go out for 4 years. And now they're going out three times a week. The restaurants are opening. Restaurants are full. And usually that means a lot of good things. But restaurants that were closed are now opening up. And everybody's happy. It's nobody's ever seen anything like it, actually. And everybody feels safe. You can have a child walk right through the middle of Washington, D.C., and nothing's going to happen. We were losing more than one person a week in Washington. They're being killed on an average of over one a week. The Make D.C. Safe Task Force has been incredible. And the Make Memphis Safe Task Force is having very similar results. It's much earlier, but we've been there for a week and a half. But I'm hearing the results are pretty incredible, and you'll hear about that. They're mobilizing more than 20 federal agencies for the largest law enforcement operation targeting violent criminals in American history. As a result of these efforts, violent crime declined nearly 20% nationwide compared to the same period last year. And it was the safest and most peaceful summer in two decades. And honestly, we haven't really even gotten going yet. If we didn't have to fight all of these radical left governors, we could have had Chicago taken care of, as an example. They had, in a short period of time, 4,000 murders in Chicago, and we have to listen to this man stand up and say that we're bad people. And the people of Chicago are walking around with MAGA hats. You have women, beautiful black women, walking around with MAGA hats. Please let the president in, and we don't care how he does it. They're not interested in National Guard or Army, Navy, bring them in. Marines, bring in the Marines. They just want the crime to stop. And more so because of the success that we had in D.C. I think if we didn't have that success, nobody would even believe it. So I want to congratulate all of the incredible law enforcement professionals joining us today, especially Attorney General Pam Bondi, who's terrific, Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche, who is a fantastic legal talent. He really is. He's a great guy, too. And, of course, FBI Director Kash Patel. They have worked so hard on this and other things. Since the start of the administration, the FBI has arrested over 23,000 violent criminals, more than double the number arrested in the final year of the Biden disaster. The FBI has also destroyed or severely disrupted more than 170 organized criminal enterprises and gangs, 1,600 of the most violent gangs, and confiscated over 6,000 illegal firearms. And they've tracked down and arrested four fugitives on the most wanted list. Four of the most wanted. Actually, two of them were the most wanted fugitives in the world. There's still much more work to be done, which is why the FBI continues to work alongside the Department of Justice, the Department of Homeland Security, and the Department of War to defend. And Pete Hegseth has been fantastic, by the way, on this, too. On other things, but on this, too. To defend law and order and combat violent crime, arrest illegal aliens, and make American cities the safest in the world. And when I campaigned, I talked about crime, but I never knew that we were going to get into it like we did. You know, I mean, I used to watch these cities with the murders. Chicago recently had one deal where they had 11 murders in one weekend, and they said, well, yeah, but it was a holiday weekend. They actually told me that was the reason. Like, it was okay because it was a holiday. It was Labor Day. These people are the worst. They are. They really have to. They better. I tell you what, the people in Chicago and the people in places like that, that could be fixed. At some point, it gets to where you can't fix it anymore. It's too far gone. And we have some cities like that. But these are great cities that could be fixed. I'm going to be strongly recommending, at the request of government officials, which is always nice, that you start looking at San Francisco. I think we can make San Francisco. There's one of our great cities 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and now it's a mess. And we have great support in San Francisco, so I'd like to recommend that for inclusion, maybe in your next group. You'll get great support. Every American deserves to live in a community where they're not afraid of being mugged, murdered, robbed, raped, assaulted, or shot. And that's exactly what our administration is working to deliver. I didn't realize I was going to make this such a big factor in the I didn't really campaign. I campaigned on crime, but I never thought we'd go into every city and take a really safe city that we've all been living with for years and make them safe. And now it's like a passion for me, and it's a passion for the people behind me. So I didn't get elected. I did get elected for crime, but I didn't get elected for what we're doing. This is many, many steps above. And I want to thank Stephen Miller, who's right back in the audience right there. I'd love to have him. I love watching him on television. I'd love to have him come up and explain his true feelings, but maybe not his truest feelings. That might be going a little bit too far. But Stephen, thank you for doing an unbelievable job. And the people of this country love you, I tell you. And they love what you say about crime and stopping crime. So now I'd like to ask Director Patel to say a few words, and then Pam and Todd also. And I just want to congratulate them. This is an amazing thing. And we're just at the start. We're going to go into other cities that we're not talking about purposely. We're getting ready to go in. And when they go in, like Cash is an example, told me that people didn't even know. 5 months ago, they went into Chicago. And they started doing a lot of work in Chicago, and we brought the numbers down a little bit. And but that really was just preparatory work for what we're going to do with the surge. We're going to have a surge of strong, good people, patriots, and they're going to go in, they straighten it all out. So a lot of these cities we're already working on, but we don't do it with a big flavor. But in a little while, you're going to see some numbers that you're not going to believe. And I think you'll probably start with Memphis, because I'm hearing the numbers are much quicker than we even thought possible. But again, D.C. is, it speaks for itself. Chicago is going to be okay. We're going to save Chicago. And I told you, and I told them, a very respected man, the head of the Union Pacific, said, "Sir, save Chicago. It can be saved." And the way he said it, it was like, can you believe it? We're trying to save Chicago. But I understood exactly what he wants. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to save all of our cities, and we're going to make them essentially crime free, like other countries have crime free. If you go all over the world, you go to the world, you hear Afghanistan and you hear all these different places. Our crime in certain cities is worse than anything they can even imagine. And we're not going to have that any longer. It's going to stop, and it stops right here. Cash, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. What I'd like to do is just highlight some of the outstanding work that the men and women of the FBI have been doing. And thanks to your brave leadership and the mandate you were given by the American people not only defend the homeland but crush violent crime, you tasked us with our great partners at the Department of Justice and the Attorney General and the Deputy Attorney General to start making arrests and bring prosecutions and safeguard our cities. And you said it. This is just the beginning. In just 7 months, I hope the media takes a look at every one of these charts, because these are the best numbers for fighting crime in U.S. history, and it's only 7 months in. And to do that, our vehicle to do it of choice was Operation Summer Heat, which the FBI architected to go after violent criminals. And in just a three-month span, you had 8,700 arrests of violent criminals. You had 2,200 firearms seized off the streets permanently to safeguard our communities. You had 421 kilograms of fentanyl seized. Just to put that in perspective, that's enough to kill 55 million Americans alone. You had 45,000 kilograms of cocaine seized. And thanks to our Department of Justice partners, you had 2,100 indictments in 3 months from June to September alone. Mr. President, that in and of itself would be historic for a four-year presidency. You did that in 7 months because you let good cops be cops, and you partnered us with the right people, the Department of Justice, to put the handcuffs on and bring them to court and put them in prison. And if that weren't enough, when you look at the year, for the entire seven-month period that we're talking about here, if you look at the past 4 years of the Biden administration, 16,000, 17,000, 15,000, 15,000. That's the number of arrests year over year of violent felons in this country for the Biden administration. Mr. President, in 7 months, you have 28,600 arrests of violent criminals in just 7 months alone because of your leadership and the dedication of the men and women at the FBI who want to go out there and do the job they were prevented from doing because that department used to be weaponized and politicized. And this is what happens when you take out the fangs of weaponization. This number is historic by every metric. 28,000 people have been arrested, violent felons alone. And then when you go over there and look at some of these charts, if you don't mind, I'll just hop over here. Look at the metrics for not just violent crime, but the homeland. Mr. President, during your administration, the FBI has found and located 5,400 children. That is a 30% increase year-to-date over the last administration. Violent crimes against children arrest alone are up 10%. Gang arrests are up 210% in the last 7 months alone. And transnational organized crime, which Stephen Miller has been a great partner in, is up over 12% alone. These numbers are historic just as a snapshot. But just so people don't think we're focusing on violent crime alone, the national security mission, Mr. President, under your leadership has never been stronger. We have gone after espionage activities against our main counterparts in China, Russia, and Iran. In China alone, we've had over a 50% increase in espionage arrests alone and prosecutions. In Iran, we have had a 50% increase, again, in espionage cases. And in Russia, we've had a 33% increase in espionage cases alone.
When it comes to counterterrorism, year to date, we have 125 arrests this year versus 100 last year, year to date alone. And when it comes to the cyber criminal activities, which are some of the largest enterprises plaguing everyday Americans, we at the FBI have put out a mission to go after cyber criminals like never before. Last year, they had in total 191. This year, you already have 252 arrests. 52 arrests of violent cyber criminals who are stealing from senior citizens, who are violating our children's rights and freedoms, and who are violating everyday Americans. These programs are record. And some of the two of the things I'll finish with that I'm most proud of, Mr. President, this FBI. Fentanyl. As you know, it's a scourge that is killing our youth, 100,000 plus a year. To date, the FBI has seized 1,900 kilograms of fentanyl. That's enough lethal doses to kill 127 million Americans alone. To date. And if that weren't enough, Mr. President, you said we have to go after the worst of the worst. And you empowered our Department of Justice, our Attorney General, Deputy Attorney General, and the Deputy Director at the FBI, led the charge, not just on summer heat, but he also led the charge in the FBI's 10 most wanted fugitives. These people have been on the run for years. And in 7 months, you captured not one, not two, not three, but four of the FBI's most top 10 fugitives. Four. And just to put that in perspective, Mr. President, the Biden administration captured four in all of 4 years.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.